Welcome to Hospitality 360, number 26, halfway to the year. I mean, unless I'm not counting right, but I think I am. So we're halfway there. I'm joined by Calvin Stovall, Stephanie Malik, and Brian J. Esposito, international, wherever he is. We don't know, but definitely international because it's very dark behind him.
It's dark. It's dark.
Very dark. Welcome, guys. Welcome, ladies. So
thank you.
Welcome.
Thank glad you. To be here.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a very eventful week, I got to say. And it really started out by being a good week. And then last night, our good friend, our board member, superstar, rock star, Christopher Meyer, had one hell of an event that I don't know. He had the Georgia State Senator there. He had a city councilman. You know, he was rolling around with a flag behind him. I mean, dude, there was a lot of things going on last night. And, you know, just give you a little glimpse. This is what we had to deal with. So, you know, with me throwing three fingers up for EV, I mean, we've got Chris right there next to me and then Calvin next to me. So it was one hell of an event, I would tell you. Packing everybody in, great show, Veterans Day. I mean, he did a lot, donated a check to the Wounded Warriors Project. Heard a great story by one of the Wounded Warriors veteran where his team didn't make it back from combat. He was the only one. And I love the quote he said last night was, every day he wakes up, it's a gift. And, you know, I think I'm going to follow that as well. So
yeah.
It was phenomenal. So thank you, Chris. Obviously, Chris is one of our platinum sponsors along with Surfer Quest on the show. We love you guys. We love you both. So everyone out there, belated happy Veterans Day. Welcome to the show. I'll probably start off with Calvin. I mean, what's your mindset for our young entrepreneurs out there?
I would just say stay focused, man. I mean, it's so, like I said before, you could get distracted and get off track. There's just so much information out there that can kind of take you off track. Just stay focused, stay motivated. And, you know, I know sometimes, actually, I heard somebody was talking about it on the radio today. Sometimes, I know it was Idris Elba. He was talking about how you can never give up. It can get dark sometimes, but you got to know where you're trying to head and keep that vision in front of you. And sometimes you may zigzag, but just never give up. Keep going. Yeah. Yeah. He's a great actor. They have a great movie that he produced on Netflix right now. That's pretty hot. The Harder They Fall, which is a cowboy movie with pretty much a black cast. It's doing really well. And he was, so cool. Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
The great Stephanie Malik.
I don't know if you want me to answer this question because I might take the whole show.
Do it. Good.
Do it. I'll go on mute and take a look. Yeah.
Brian's like, you know what? Brian texted me and said, Stephanie, can you talk so I can sleep?
Yeah. You just have to spin it.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to spin it. That's the problem. All the entrepreneurs try and spin it. You need to ask for help, signal early, make sure your crystal clearance is synced. It's okay to pivot, but no, don't pivot too early. You know, you really have to, like, for me, I just think you need to give so much more than you actually ask for. You know, it's actually a really interesting question, Ken, because this week I've had so many, Brian gets this all the time. We talk about this all the time, but can I pick your brain? Hey, do you have 5 minutes? Hey, is there anyone really quick?
Just put a quarter in the phone.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's crazy. And yeah. Which I always want to help. I always am the first one, like, to jump on and be like, absolutely, I have 20 minutes now. But what are you asking for? Are you asking me to flesh out and vet your idea? What are you actually asking for? Are you asking for personal, your own stuff? How can you be better? How can you show up? How can you be more impactful? Are you asking me to disrupt and deconstruct your idea or vet your service? Like, be really clear in your ask, and ask, don't skirt, like ask. Like, when I send people text messages, I'm like, for example, if I send Brian a text message, I go, Brian, I have this technology I want you to look at. You may or may not like it. I don't care either way. Just tell me it's a waste of time or it's not a waste of time. He's like, I can do that in 5 minutes, or I need an hour and a half. Do it on this day. People go, hey, how are you? How's the weather? Is everything going okay out there? Have you guys been affected much by the thing? And I'm like, oh my God, can you just tell me what you want?
you start getting hives.
Like, yeah, sometimes. And if you don't want anything, that's okay too. Just tell me. Just go, hey, you know what? I really don't have an agenda. I just want to get to know you better. That's acceptable as well. But if I don't know the meaning of the call, or I don't know how to impact or affect the situation pretty immediately, I start getting, as Brian says, hives. Not far from the truth.
I have to ask you a question. So yeah. How long did Brian take when you told him about EV Hotel?
I'm not going to tell you what Brian's text message was unless Brian tells me it can. I can.
It's not appropriate for this channel.
That's why I love him, because he says it without saying it. No, I mean, here's the thing. With Brian, I've gotten very clear on what he wants and what he doesn't want and what he likes to help in. So it's there's certain things that really light him up, and I love to hear that. Like, those are the things I love to hear him get really excited about. And it's not the money things. It's the impactful things. But I also raise my hand and go, hey, Brian, like, we talked about this thing that was 100% e-commerce. I don't know any. Don't call me for e-commerce, and don't call me about Bitcoin. Call Brian. Don't call me. Don't DM me. I don't know. Right. But yeah, I think that's really truly it. I think if you're going to disrupt and you're going to deconstruct, figure out your differentiators, know who you are, understand your strengths, understand your weaknesses, and for God's sake, say it. Go, hey, I'm not really developed in this area. I really want to grow in it, but here's what I really do know well. I think the power of intention and being really super transparent and clear with where you are is what entrepreneurs should do.
That's good. Ooh. Excellent.
That's a mic drop.
That's a mic drop right there.
Yeah. That's
a mic drop. Okay, bye.
I don't know how you follow up that, Brian.
Yeah, Brian.
I don't think I should.
I should have opened up stronger. I'm like, whoa! I need to go back to my comment.
He's like, next.
Kevin, I have one more slot in my executive coaching if you'd like it. Yeah, no, Brian. I think because we are so similar in those type of things, but I think that you are a lot more patient in that area than I am. So I think
Brian's patient. Like, I don't even know. I don't think I'll ever meet somebody more patient than Brian.
I mean, hey, Ken. So was Hannibal Lecter. Okay.
Oh, so you're saying
what the hell just happened?
Don't sleep, Brian. Don't sleep.
That's awful. What a nice Chianti and some fava beans, I guess I should say. Anyway, I'll go.
Yeah, so, go ahead,
all you young entrepreneurs out there, what I would suggest is, you know, avoid the pity party. Everybody goes through hell. You know, whether you're a startup with no revenues or a multi-billion-dollar company, there are problems. So more money doesn't mean less problems. And the more you go through, the more prepared you are to be able to handle anything. So take those challenges on. Take them on with pride. Take them on with excitement. Overcome them. Like Stephanie said, ask for help. That's the strongest thing anybody can do, is to park their pride and ask for help, because there are people that have been through certain situations that can help guide you. But it's important for you to go through those situations, because that's what makes you smarter, stronger, wiser, and well-prepared to be a seasoned entrepreneur or senior level manager or co-founder. So embrace those issues, overcome them, and you'll start to feel some really incredible internal strengths that you didn't know you had, or that you didn't even know you needed. So the journey is amazing. And I will say, speaking from true experience, the harder that journey is, the more rewarding the outcome is. And that doesn't mean just money. It just means what you were able to do and how you were able to overcome those issues. So, you know, problems are exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ken, you know what? I want to just say one more thing to Brian's point, and it just made me think of something else. You know, I was often the youngest entrepreneur in the room, and I was often the only woman. And I was often the least educated, because all of our companies were right around Stanford. So it was always Stanford and Berkeley were right in the center of that. And I didn't go to either of those schools. So I remember, I literally remember I was probably maybe 32 or 33. I had had this feeling and I had had the knowledge and I had had the fortitude to ask the questions, but I didn't ask him because I didn't want to sound stupid. And the second that I actually felt really comfortable with myself and just raising my hand and going, I don't understand, you could literally see the executives sit, like lean back, and they're like, oh God, thank God she said it because we didn't understand either. And it started to be actually an actual pattern because I was like, you know what? Hey, I'm really sorry. I don't understand. Is there any way you can take a step back and walk me through that again? I really don't. I'm not getting it. And you just saw the almost like relaxation come from people that were like, okay, I'm really glad that I don't have to ask that or ask them to slow down. So I think if you start really acting from a place of curiosity and understanding who you are and what your key differentiators are, I think that people just start to really respect you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, I would even tell people, look, I don't believe in titles. You have to do everything and anything possible. I don't care if you think you're the owner, CEO, chairman, president, whatever it is, doesn't mean that job is small. You know, you have to do every job and anything possible. So for you, I could probably tell you from my own perspective, I find it's very hard. It's not easy to be an entrepreneur or a visionary or whatever you want to call me. But, you know, it's something you have to keep trying. It's never going to feel like it's there. Yeah. You have to keep trying and keep doing it. So, well, we wish everybody the best success, right? We want everybody to do well. We want everybody to get to their goals. And hopefully they will. Maybe you're the next, we don't want to say Jeff Bezos at all.
the next Ken Patel.
Yeah.
Brian, you and your damn brownie points.
It could be you.
You always like keep Brian, being teacher's pet. I'm kind of sick of it.
But just like Brian said, when he said, be careful of the pity party, I always tell people, be careful of who you surround yourself with.
Absolutely.
That your circle can either help you grow or it can be your demise, man. And so I'm very selective in who I have in my close circle because misery loves company.
Yep.
It does.
And you know, you just got to be careful of who you're sharing stuff with and who you're confiding in, and all of those things make a difference. So make sure you got some good people that love you and trust you around you. It makes a difference.
You know what's funny, Calvin, is you say that, and it's really actually kind of funny because people, young entrepreneurs especially, they've said, you know, like we were in New York a couple weeks ago, and like they're like they told me this idea. In fact, Brian, you and I need to talk about this really soon because it's a brand, and I think you'll love it. I just haven't had a chance to actually tell you about it yet, but it was so amazing, and I was like, who have you told about this? Like, I'm literally sweating at the restaurant, and she's like, oh, she's like, anybody I tell, she's like, I have a non-compete in NDA, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, okay, that's really good. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Like you have to like not talk to people about this. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh. And she's like, but it's really good. She's like, this really nice guy on the East Side. He actually did it for me for free. And I'm like, oh my God, stop talking. Stop talking. So it was really, you don't know what you don't know, you know, and you're so excited about your idea and you're so excited about getting it out there.
Yeah.
You don't know how many people with better connections or possibly more revenue might just be like, I'm going to change that one little thing and make it happen. You know?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I think too. I was watching, and we'll get to our first article. We're not even there yet. But
this is gold.
I was watching actually your show, Stephanie, with that girl, Hala. I think.
Hala.
I mean, that was a good, good story there from the background that she came from and things of that nature. So, and you've got I think everybody on this show has an entrepreneur story, and we're all entrepreneurs. You know, obviously, Brian.
I have an entrepreneur story too.
I have like 12 of those. I love that entrepreneur.
I always go by this, and I always say, just never give up. Just never give up.
So, Ken, you know what? To your question about that, let me ask you something. Have do you ever tell people to not be an entrepreneur? Like, do you ever meet with somebody and go, you know, I mean, not 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 like rudely or after a first meeting, but do you ever kind of meet with somebody and they're like walking
down? Are you saying the world needs ditch diggers too?
Yeah.
No. Just, you know, like when somebody gets really, you're so mean. I didn't say that.
No, we inspire everybody.
No, but like, do you ever just like see somebody who you, Brian, we've talked about this. There are some people that just feel so much better and more comfortable with those, with maybe those guardrails, you know?
Yeah, and you're right.
You know what I'm saying? Do you guys ever say, do you guys just ever say to them?
Only to my family members.
Oh, okay.
I tell them not to do anything.
You're like, you're never going to have a job with me, so you may want to stay where you are.
No, yeah, I respect, Stephanie, I respect that question. I just haven't hit that level of ruthlessness, I think, to tell somebody that they shouldn't go after their dreams.
Here it goes.
I guess I avoid being in that type of conversation.
You like, avoid being a dream
they
killer.
They want to talk about.
It's funny. I know, and it's kind of crazy because I had this conversation last night in my Uber ride home with a friend of mine, and she was like, "You know what? I think I'm trying to start this." She was coming out with this product, and I'm like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Why would you do that?
Oh, so there you go. Oh, I've done that. Okay. I guess
Brian, you've not done that. You've never said that's the stupidest idea ever. You would never.
But, you know, I don't think I could say that to somebody. If somebody that I didn't know.
Yeah.
I don't think I can say that because I'll be like, oh, man, I just probably brought them down like so much. And what if this thing is really good? And somebody picks it up and copies it, and then next thing you know, it's IP. Like,
that dude Ken messed me up, man.
Yeah,
so funny.
You know,
you're on the little logo thing of like with the big X going through.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no stay smoking. Away from that guy. He sucks at motivating people. You know, but all right, let me get to the first article piece. So. Digital revolution comes from obviously where I went to school. There's a company called Barrows. They manage over 10,000 rooms in 10 different countries. I love this because of the fact that I feel like we're not alone, you know, and we're not alone. I mean, this is what they're doing is phenomenal. What they're saying, they're preparing for the digital revolution. Service and hospitality will innovate enormously in the years to come. It saves time and money. And one of their quotes is, hotel guests should not experience any form of nuance.
Yes.
And I think this is great. I know a little bit about them, not as much as I should, but, you know, I am going to probably follow them more. But my problem with this is not them. My problem with this is why aren't we innovative here in the United States like they are in Dubai? Yeah. You know, I mean, do we have to have this company that does not operate in the United States tell us they're in 10 different countries in over 10,000 rooms and not have a single hotel in the United States and they're part of a digital revolution? What the hell is going on? You know, that's kind of what I'm saying here. And this is what we're about at EB. But I wish they were in the United States. I definitely wish. I mean, I want to pick up the phone call and tell them, when are you going to open a hotel in the United States? Because, you know, what they're doing is very revolutionary for the industry because they've already got the product. So, but I'll go to you, Calvin. I mean, what did you think of this?
That is funny. You said that. That was the first thing that jumped out in my mind when you said that. I'm like, This is wonderful, and I'm glad I'm part of EV, which is doing it. But I asked myself the same question, and you know, it's frustrating because these brands have been here for decades here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. and they've made a lot of money, and have legacy brands out there, and they just haven't invested the time. And I think now they're so ingrained in. And doing things a certain way, I think there are probably brands that want to do it, but carrying a load of trying to do it is just overwhelming to a brand that's so huge. And then dealing with the franchise community to get it done, I just think I'm sure they're struggling with it as well. How they know it's happening, okay, and they know it needs to happen and it needs to change, but I just think they're struggling with how. But you know, by the time they figured out, EV will be like 30, 40 hotels down the road.
I have to tell you something on that brand thing, and I forgot to mention this in the beginning of the show. I had this amazing call this morning with top echelon people of an all-inclusive resort. They do great work. And it's funny, they say, I'm not going to mention the brand's name, but it's actually, they said that a brand that's doing the all-inclusive resorts reached out to them for advice for the all-inclusive resorts. And they said, you know, can you give some feedback? And this is what we're doing. This gentleman told me that the brand said that, why do they serve Johnny Walker Black at their all-inclusive resort? Because we're only going to be doing beer. And I'm like, what? I'm like, you want to make an all-inclusive resort? And this is, and they're like, we're not going to do that much technology, because they said they were going to drive it with technology. And they're like, no, our focus is not really technology. They clearly stated that their focus is not technology. Wow. I still don't get it. Like, who's drinking this juice over there? But Brian?
I don't know who's drinking the juice either. So can't talk on that. I think one of the that article, I read it earlier this morning or last night. So I think they said 10 years out, right? As far as one section in that article, how they figured the hotel industry would respond to this digitalization. Mm-hmm. So they know it's a long-term play. And you know, Asia, Dubai, Singapore, Southeast Asia, they've been so ahead of the curve on so many different technologies, things that hit in the U.S. now, they were doing 10 years ago. So mm-hmm. that model is kind of traditional and normal. Banking, sports industry, gambling, the hotel industry, these are all industries that take forever to implement change. But COVID forced these companies or these industries to start adapting new technologies, hiring new talent, finding new ways to connect with people. But unfortunately, what I see out in the market is they're doing it kind of erratically. There's no real system behind it. There's no calculation behind it on how they're going to implement it, how they're going to train the people to use it, and how it's going to relate to the experiences that the guests and staff expect and deserve. I think as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, what's missing is interoperability, a platform that could work across all different hotel flags, where mm-hmm. the guest has the same process when they're checking in and they're going to their hotel, and how much of it can be technology where it doesn't become intimidating to a guest, because you're also dealing with, you know, grandparents, parents, kids. You have such a wide gap of people that can use technology, people that are intimidated by it, kids that don't have access to it because their parents don't let them have devices. So there's a lot going on where it's not an easy ask at all. But I'm glad to see that there is change happening in the industry. And I think we're always going to see that Southeast Asia, Singapore, Dubai market always be ahead of us, because that's what they do. And then we pick it up shortly after.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, Brian, you say that because it's, you know, having been in the hotel industry for so long, we know the pain points, the things that drive people crazy, and it just seems like that it's some of those things they could take away. It should have been gone. I mean, but even if you put the technology in, even the basic mobile check-in, check-out, stuff like that, which is definitely is more convenient for the guests, but just make sure it works. Yeah. So you make it bigger when you tell me, hey, I'm going to make it convenient for you, and it becomes a bigger inconvenience. It's just amazing how that happens.
I feel like there's a Stephanie story coming.
Yes.
Yes. Can't wait.
Let's do it.
Go, Steph. Go.
No, I'm not going to say anything. We're ready. You guys took my thunder.
We're ready for this.
So, you know, actually, you know, Ken, I only got halfway through the story because I'm so into data. I actually started thinking about, we all know that we're the last. We all know that. We all know that it's supply and demand. I actually did a little bit of a study, not a huge study, but I went through and I asked certain people, you know, what they thought the Marriott or, and I'm talking like upper echelon, like the Waldorf or like the Edition or the higher brands in those. No, because EV is not in that category. We're so much better than that.
Yeah.
Sweet. And so I was like, what is the nicest hotel you've ever stayed at? And most of them were like, oh, this Hilton in you know, in New York. It's just absolutely amazing. I'm like, was it a Hilton? Like, was it a Waldorf? Was it a Hilton? And they're like, so yeah. We had that conversation a few times, and after 50 people, and these are, some of them are athletes, but you know, if you think right. about where athletes stay, athletes usually stay at a Marriott, Hilton, something like that, because they're usually with the team. Mm-hmm. The thing that drove me crazy about this was, I think now the U.S. has like, I think 8% of the U.S. are considered millionaires, even though it's non-liquid millionaires. And I think 5 or 6% was in Silicon Valley in New York. So people don't travel for the technology in their heads. They can't think of the innovation. They can't think of what could I have in my hotel room? What could I, you know, what are some of the advantages for me to have? Where we all travel so much, we were like, oh gosh, it'd be really nice to have this, or it'd be really nice to be able to pull up things on your phone or whatever it is. People don't have the supply and demand in the U.S. Outside of right. the U.S., in Singapore, like Brian said, Dubai, I don't know any rooms that business people would stay at that don't just have those as normal modern conveniences.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
That's a hell of a point. That's a hell of a point. The disconnect between the expectations of what right. people are used to. Yeah, and that's a great
right.
point.
I mean, so Ken, just to further that, you know, everybody I'd spoken to hadn't even stayed at like a Ritz-Carlton or like a Four Seasons. They were like, oh, I mean, really? I probably talked to about 10 people there. We thought older people stayed there, or we thought it's not a business hotel. It's, you know, so they just didn't have that feel of how to connect with the hotel. Nobody knew what the Rosewood was. Not one person was like, oh yeah, Rosewood Hotel. Nobody knew. Yeah, So I just think it's kind of like what's important to Americans, you know, keep in mind, I think only 27 or 30% of Americans have passports. I mean, that's that's giant.
I know. Crazy. I know that same topic has came up before, that the Ritz-Carlton gets labeled as the old folks room.
Yeah.
The old folks hotel. So I know it's, and I don't, you know, Bill Gates obviously invested into it.
Mm-hmm. So right.
See what happens. But, you know, they've always, the Four Seasons has done well with technology. Right. But I mean, we'll see, but nobody's going to do better with technology than EV.
That's right. That's right.
That's it. You know, I mean, that's what we expect. I mean, they won't catch up. They can try. You know, they can try all they want.
I feel like they can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man.
Yeah. You saw what happened to him at the end of that story.
Brian's like, has Stephanie been drinking? I can just see that.
I'm jealous. I want to have what you're having.
It's water. Yeah. I promise.
Well, it's water.
Vodka. Could be tequila. Could be anything.
Right. It's water.
She's definitely spinning it today. You know,
mood.
She's in that Friday spin it mood, you know, but no, good stuff. I mean, you know, I think we're going to, like Brian said, 10 years. I expect EB to be 1 year. We want to revolutionize this thing like never seen before. And if people don't know, we just got mentioned in the Hospitality Tech newspaper. So, we were also in the Market Watch. So I think there's a lot of excitement. The guests want this. The visitors
EV
want
excitement. Kind of
look at that.
You gotta say it right if you're gonna say it.
You know, EV excitement. I mean, you know, we're getting ready. I mean, more to come. And this is all for you, hospitality. You know, this is what we're doing. We want to be the barrels and bigger in the United States. So that's what we're aiming for. And I know Brian, and I think everybody probably agrees that the Asian market is always scaling faster than us. But let's try to change that. Yeah. Try to change it. So our next piece, I really don't like to talk about this. It's really, in a way, I couldn't believe the numbers. That's why I'm speechless right now, to say that the prices climbed 6.2% in October compared with last year, the largest rise in three decades. I mean, when I saw that graph and it said 1990, I'm like, 1990? I was 10 years old, you know? And I'm like, this is not good at all. I mean, they said the soaring energy prices and also the issues with the supply chain. The one number that got me was the gas prices. It rose 50%, almost 50%, higher than a year ago. 50%. I you know, personally, me, I don't probably see it due to the fact that I Uber everywhere. You know, I just Uber everywhere.
Oh, it's baked into your price, Ken. So
it is.
You see it.
I know. I'm wondering. I'm like, I'm the Diamond member. I'm supposed to get a discount. How did this thing go up? You know, but you know, I definitely see it. I mean, this is not, to me, this is not good news at all. And especially on the construction side, I know we're talking about the timelines on the supply chain, but I'm like, what about the prices? Right. So I'll go to you, Brian, on this one first.
Oh, I don't know. Like Stephanie, I'm in a mood, so I may say things that I shouldn't say, but
that's all right. You know. This is free for all at Hospitality 360.
Well, the gas prices started with the ransomware issue with the pipeline that was shut down in the Northeast, and that affected the entire market. The inflation or the surge in prices due to supply chains do not need to be happening. We have hundreds of ships off our coastlines waiting to bring goods into the country that are not allowed to come to the country. And you know, I look at this as just another way to just completely destroy and kill the middle class, make mm-hmm. that gap bigger, cause more unrest and uncertainties, more, again, I want to word this properly, more relying on the government to help offset some of these people's losses and higher prices when they get a couple hundred dollars a month from the government, and that's supposed to be a good thing. I'm disappointed in what's happening in the country. This should not be happening. This doesn't need to be happening. And it doesn't come down. You know, when these prices go up, that becomes the new floor. You don't see it come back down. So, you know, the big boys, their margins are going to go through the roof. They're going to continue to see great numbers because they got goods sitting there, but now that's priced more, that shouldn't be priced more. They already bought it. It's already in supplies. It's already in reserves. If you're talking about, you know, whether they're goods or products or oil. So it's awful what's happening to the American people, and it affects everybody around the world. And we are that first domino. When we're not strong and we don't have this consistent, safe economy or supply chain, you know, the whole world gets affected. So it's very disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely heartbreaking to me to know that this is actually happening, because, I mean, I talk to a lot of people on the line level as well. And, you know, I think it's hurting them in more ways than people can even imagine. So, Stephanie?
So, I've built 11 homes in the last, like, 20 years. All over the country. So in Arizona, in California, in a lot of other places, and in Portugal as well. We live in North Carolina now, and our home that we are having to remodel because of the issues you guys know, it's quadruple the price of it as it was in San Francisco. So it was funny. I took an actual invoice, Ken, from Hardwood Floor, and I got the Hardwood Floor, I think 2017. And I wanted that same floor, and I had to go to a discounter to get the floor because the floor had been discontinued. The discontinued price was 300% more than the time that I bought it in 2017. So there's that. There's the wood. There's things that people don't even think of. The couplings that go around pipe, like for plumbing, couplings are back ordered, or you'll get a coupling that's like $2 or $3, and now it's $16. PVC pipe is, you can't find it anywhere. Like just the normal, like, repair type things are 200-400% more. And that's the first part of it. The second part of it is where we are. And I don't know. I too want to be very careful how I word this. people are not exactly wanting to work because there's other assistance. And so there right now I have like people coming to me that are going, hey, I've had to increase my payroll by 20% to keep people. Now I don't know where they, I don't, that's a whole other show, Ken. I don't know if they were under, you know, under budget. I don't really know where they were, but I know they're saying we're having to increase things 20 to 30%. I know five people that have called me for executives and said, hey, people are taking a sabbatical or time off. Yeah. Mid-level people, like mid-level. So, you know, not entry level, but mid-level people, they say that they're looking for jobs. People are saying that they're looking to hire, but for somehow it's not meeting. It's not, those people aren't coming together. So I think, like Brian said, I think the economy and the market is just crazy. It's just, it's just bad.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever, I'm not going to say ever, but I just haven't seen it this bad. I mean, with everything. And I think, and I have to word it to the right way. So
we need a disclaimer.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
If we all were drinking like Stephanie before the show, we would have an excuse.
I think Stephanie just inhaled too much of the paint fume is what it is.
I actually got in trouble from the last time I forget what I got in trouble for, but it was something I said. And I was like, you can't say that. So, but
the FCC came down on you.
Yeah, right.
I'm probably going to get kicked off the show then.
So I would probably say is that also there's a lot of this that we actually, as employers, have utilized this pandemic as almost a profit machine, you know? And what I mean by that is that, you know, when you're going to, let's say, a hotel, right? And they say, oh, yeah, we can't do this because of COVID, whether it was housekeeping, whether it was breakfast, whether it's, oh, we don't have this supply because we didn't get it delivered, but they could have easily went to Walmart and buy it.
Yes.
Right. So I think we've utilized these things and it's now becoming even bigger. Like as you go, I think with bananas, my wife said, you sure you want the bananas? I'm like, what? They don't have them? I'm like, you know, I eat like 3 bananas in the morning. And she's like, no, it's like $3. And I'm like, what?
Let me just say 7-Eleven has the best freaking bananas I've ever had.
They do.
I don't know what's going on there, but you get 2 for $1. So tell your wife.
Oh, yeah.
7-Eleven.
You must be like in Costa Rica or something. What 7-Eleven are you talking about, my friend?
Pretty consistently, I've been to 100 7-Elevens.
And the bananas are always good?
It's like a quarter pounder. It's the same and delicious every 7-Eleven.
Well, we know what kind of burger Brian likes now. You know?
McDonald's isn't even consistent.
I can't even actually imagine that. Hold on one second. Brian eating a quarter pounder.
Yeah.
What?
Brian eating a quarter pounder. I just can't see him opening up the wrappers. And
why? With a delicious sesame seed bun? It's fantastic.
It's good.
That's the problem is we don't have 7-Elevens where I live. I've never seen one here.
Oh, really?
Oh, interesting.
You have QTs? Whoa. You have QTs?
Yeah, we have QTs. I never go into them.
Yeah.
I feel like they're walking behind me every time I'm walking in there. So the people at QT.
Oh, my God.
Brian's like, who?
You thought you got in trouble on the last show. Who the hell are you talking about?
Well, you know Brian.
It sounds like a certain type of club. The QTs that are walking behind you. I don't know.
They walk behind you every time you walk into that thing. They're like, hello, welcome to QT.
Remind me not to visit your town ever.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Stay away. They're opening new ones everywhere, here. And I'm like, man, this is horrendous. You know, but I love QT. Let me just kind of put it this way.
Oh, you do.
Man, oh my God. We may need an attorney to attend our show.
Yeah. Sponsor.
I love the QT pizza they have, the sandwiches.
The best milk. Now you're going to go through the menu?
They have the best milk possible. The bananas are the best, too. You know?
Wow.
Wow.
All right. Sorry. So Calvin,
well, man, I really don't have much to add. I think we beat that one up pretty much.
You don't want to add anything about Pop-Tarts or anything?
No.
Oh man!
Oh my God!
Showing off the rails.
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone.
Well, I mean,
reel it back. Reel it back in.
I really don't have much, really. I mean, it is disappointing. I mean, and having two boys, growing boys at 11 and 14, trust me, I feel the wrath of the price increase when I go back. It is real. the struggle is real, as they say.
I know. It's
horrible. Is, man.
I mean, I feel bad for, you know, like Brian was saying, the middle class. I really do, because you know what? I think people are just looking at it just because they're making a few extra bucks an hour. I mean, like, we raise the prices. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just not it's easier for them to now stay at home and take care of their kids. I mean, we just kind of prove it day in, day out, you know?
Yeah. So I do say for the, you know, go ahead, Ken.
So yeah, my next big topic, I'm not obviously very, I would say, I don't have an MBA in crypto like Brian does, but you know, I love crypto. I think people know that. And you know, I'm a holder of this as well for the Shiba Inu coin. And I actually like this guy. I don't know him personally, but I feel like if he was working at a warehouse as a manager and he was able to throw $8,000 away without knowing what the hell was going to happen with this coin. And, you know, he walked away, I guess, excuse me,
$500,000 in the bank. He put in the bank.
Yeah, $500,000. I find crypto to be better than a lottery ticket. You know, the better chances of you winning and becoming a millionaire is in crypto rather than buying the $50 scratch off. I actually told somebody that last night at the gas station. I told them, you just bought a $220 and a $10 lottery ticket, $50. You were better of throwing $50 in the Shibcoin and you would have made out, instead of just wasting your $50. He's like, what is that? So I had him sign up for the Robinhood and the public app right at the gas station. And then he ended up buying the Shibcoin.
I feel like we totally need to move away from gas stations and 7-Eleven. I just feel like it's getting
crazy. What's been going on with that? Yeah.
What is going on?
But it wasn't a QT.
Thank goodness. You'll be hearing from them shortly.
Yeah. But... So I'll go to you, Stephanie, first on this. You know, I haven't heard much about crypto and you, so we'll start with you first and figure out what your love for crypto is and what do you think about this guy, a warehouse manager, put $8,000 in. I mean, that's a hell of a gross profit margin right there.
That is, man.
So here's what I think. I think that when you focus on what you want and what you want to learn, I think if you focus on the positives, you know, people are always saying, I don't have any money, but you know, we've all seen the things on Instagram and Facebook where it's like, you know, the $200 bottle of wine you have money for, but you don't have $200 for, you know, an investment into yourself or, you know, a workshop or whatever it is. You pay for what you believe in and what you want to focus on. And if you invest in those type of things, you know, a lot of times you have a great return. I don't know enough about Bitcoin. I need to do a better job. It's literally popping up everywhere. To be completely honest, I'm embarrassed that I don't know enough about it. I keep getting offers to talk about NFTs and things like that, and I just point to Brian. But I don't know enough about it. I think it's amazing that he had that money to give and that he had such a fabulous return. And I think those are the stories that we want to focus on. You know, really growing who you are. What's he going to do with that money? You know, is it going to turn into something even bigger? Is he going to educate other people on what he did?
I was actually going to try to find his name and number so I can call him and tell him, look, we have an EV hotel and you're more than welcome, you know, to come there whenever you feel like coming and throwing that $500,000 in. But, you know, I own the coin too. I've owned it for a while. You know, and I believe in it. You know, I'll tell you the reason why I believed in it. Because when it was created, 50-some% was given to India, part of their COVID vaccine relief. So that's why I invested. I didn't invest. I was like, you know, I just invested for that reason. But as, you know, I kept doing more research, I found out more and more about it. And, you know, I'm a true believer in it. Calvin?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm like Stephanie. I'm learning about it. You know, I don't know enough, but I'm investing my time to learn.
Yeah, I think that's the best thing, Calvin. Like, yeah. That's where I am. I actually need to stop and focus and
yes.
really focus yes. on that and learning it. So I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I mean, I have a couple of people that's been doing it, that's going to have some conversations with me and watch some YouTube videos. Man, I love learning new things. I'm always open to learning new and different. And this whole crypto thing has got me fired up, man. So
for sure.
So in about a month and a half or so, I'll be in the expert. Game. I'm going to be in the game.
I think we need, I got an idea. I have this brilliant visionary idea.
Oh, wow.
It's not brilliant, or there's no vision to it. To just have our rename our show and forget about articles in hospitality and news and art. And we just call it Crypto Brian. And we're just the panel guest. And Brian's going to talk about crypto as he is right now.
Go.
All right. Go. And hey, Stephanie, never feel embarrassed. And Calvin, you know, what you're not experienced in the market. I'm only in it because the technologies that we build, they were courted to be part of it. So I had to learn it. So you guys do phenomenal work in what you do. And I'm honored to know both of you. So don't ever feel that you don't know something, because you know more than most people. But I will talk about this gentleman who two sides of this. And again, I'm in a mood. I haven't slept in 3 days. The first side, I love that he took a profit. I admire that he was smart enough to take money off the table. That's where my accolades go for him. There's no more accolades for him. He left a $68,000 job. He quit his job. He put 500 grand in the bank. That money's got a big tax bill coming. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's even thinking about it. Quit his job. I'm assuming he had full health benefits and other perks. Everything. He could have curved back to become part-time enough to keep his benefits and still make a salary. He wanted to spend time with his kid. If he's an astute investor, which from the move I saw in the article, I'm going to assume that he's not. He can make 5-6% tax-free. Maybe he's making $18,000 a year after his tax bill on that 500 grand. So he's in the red. He's touching the principal day two. So I do not appreciate his moves in taking care of his family. He had a big win. He could have continued to repurpose his life like we talked about before, restructure where does he want his passion to be, work a few days a week, take care of his family, have some more personal time. And not be in the red. The guy is immediately in the red. And that money, I'm sorry, like a lot of lottery winners that we've seen throughout the history become broke.
Yeah.
They get tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's gone. And it's moves mm-hmm. like that, not understanding how that money goes quicker than it comes in. But I love that he took a profit. That's a smart person that took the money off the table. But it will disappear from what I'm reading.
Yeah, you know, and I got to say, you know, I'm very disappointed in the guy, because he pulled out. You're not a rocket. You're not a rocket. You pulled out. I mean, you took the 500K. If you left it in there, that thing would have been into billions. Okay. It would have been into millions and billions, and you pulled out. So don't throw money into crypto again, because you can't do that. So... But no, you know, I have to say the same thing is that, you know, he's
love this show.
I'm so confused because I'm looking at Ken and the microphone is behind him, and I keep trying to like move his mouth like closer to the microphone that's behind him.
I was wondering, I'm like, why is that?
I'm so confused, like your ear microphone.
But you know, I'm gonna change the image next week.
Just no, don't change the image. It's great.
No, I like it. I'm just confused by it, because I think if you were moved over a little bit more, it would look like you're like. But right now, it's like.
So he's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a profile, right? I'm assuming he's got to turn sideways.
Right.
Yeah. So
right.
Turn sideways for a minute.
Yeah. There you go.
Face that way. Don't look at us. You can't look at us.
Yeah, we're not that interesting.
You have to look the other way.
Look at your pretend microphone.
So I would probably say with this guy, he shouldn't have left his job. just the way Brian was saying.
For sure.
And what I've stated this for a while now, and I've said because of the crypto millionaires, okay? People ask, where are the jobs? Where did people go? When you have a million users buying this coin alone, right? This is just one of many coins. And when you have them buying these coins and these things are going rocket ship, you know, they're pretty much FOMO all day long. It's a 24/7 crypto exchange, right? 24/7 crypto buying. I just want to send, there's nothing wrong with people buying crypto. I love it that people buy crypto, but just make sure you use that money as savings. Keep your job. You know what I mean? Keep your job, and the livelihood of you working is, don't take that away. I mean, you want to keep working because there you need to show your kids. Mm-hmm. You need to show them that what work is about, you know, what life is about.
Yeah. You know, it was his job that allowed him to save $8,000 to make
right.
Exactly. And that's what I don't like. I wish everybody's a millionaire. I wish everybody makes money, right? I mean, I tell you, I've done pretty well, but I'm still working. I mean, I've been in it for a while, a long time.
So that's the question. How much money would you need to have before you stopped working?
For me?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's an amount.
That's Brian. That's you too, right?
Yeah, I've been working since I was 14 years old.
I wish it wasn't, but yeah,
that's me too.
I think all of us are the same thing. So maybe that's the common thread of you know, what an entrepreneur is, because you're so passionate. You love so much what you do building. Yeah. You know, you're building so much.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe it's, you know, you don't consider it work, or you don't consider it. Maybe this guy should have kept that as almost like a side hustle and continued on with his.
He's, mm-hmm. He wins. Mm-hmm. He can laugh and enjoy his day.
Yeah.
He can go to work with no stress.
Yeah. Yep.
I look at how much Bitcoin, or what profits I made in Bitcoin, what profits I made in this Shiba and Ethereum. All these profits, for me, it's not for me. It's for my six-year-old. I will leave it in there for the rest of my life till she needs it. And that's kind of how I look at it. Is I can make my profits and do well, and whatever I want to do is based on my vision right now. And I would tell people to do the same thing, is use it as your backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep working, keep doing what you need to do. Use it as your savings account, as you would have saved money and put money in it. That's it. You know,
so Ken, for the people that are listening, is there like a place that you can go to like get a very high level overview on, you know, crypto and, you know, all of that stuff? Is there a one aggregated website that has kind of got some information on it so people could go and get educated?
Yeah, I was talking to Calvin about this. Is basically how I got educated and what I got to find out is I really followed these certain people on YouTube, right?
Oh,
there's a guy who was a former financial investment guy named Stock Mo, M-O-E. And then this guy that was just in real estate, he was buying multifamilies, and he turned himself into this massive stock investor. His name is Meet Kevin. You know, he's crazy, but, you know, the guy is just brilliant, you know, brilliant. And I mean, there's plenty of these people on YouTube that you can find out.
That's
how I taught myself. You know, I just taught myself that what I needed to look for and how I needed to look at it. You know, I kind of look at probably less stuff than other people do. I kind of look at, you know, what the trading volumes are and all of these other things. And, you know, I think there's so much, like Brian probably knows like 100 times more than me on the crypto, you know, but there's certain things I look at. Maybe there's only 5 things I look at and see what's it at, you know. And I don't invest. I'll tell people this, and maybe I'm going to get in trouble for this, but there's only few exchanges that I kind of will. I know that they do their homework, like Public. That's Robinhood's competitor. Then Robinhood, then E-Trade. Like, I don't utilize Coinbase. for obviously your own reasons, but I don't like Coinbase. And that's my own personal opinion, you know, but I know like Public and Robinhood, they'll do their homework before they add a coin. So for me, that makes me more comfortable about it, you know, but all right. So I'm probably going to get an email here pretty soon. So,
gosh, about which topic?
Yeah. Yes, I don't know. Today's not the day.
You're going to get a QT email. You're going to get
bananas. Like, bananas. 7-Eleven.
How many IPO companies did we name on the show that we don't know?
Oh, man.
We probably won't be invited on their panels to speak.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, here comes the next. Here comes
we're gonna throw another brand under the
yeah, let's go.
Where here's the next drop. Here we go. Here comes Marriott.
Oh my gosh.
So I guess Marriott's in trouble with this, and Marriott I think has been in trouble with this for a while, but it looks like the DC Attorney General has brought this back to life. I believe this case started in 2019. With the resort fees, $17 million in revenue that they made with resort fees in 2019. The highest year of their resort fee revenue. I mean, I couldn't even believe this number. I mean, I could not. It's just, this is where they throw this money in. Where's this money?
Well, it's
82
not,
million.
It's not an innovation. It's not a technology.
$82 million. I mean, they made $82 million in resort fees. And I'm like, wait a minute. Do they even have resorts? Like, are they – now they do these all-inclusive resorts. But I'm like, what resort fee? Like, where was there a resort in 2019 from Marriott that I could probably say it's a resort, but I don't know. I mean, you know, for me to see this and then creating the all-inclusive resorts that are they have now. So does this become a bigger issue now that they're making the all-inclusive resorts and they're having these lawsuits at the resort fee? But I don't know. I know Calvin brought this article up. Maybe Calvin knows more. So we'll start with Calvin there.
I don't know more about it. I just know I've been charged that fee before. But but the thing is, the biggest thing for me is it's one of those situations that, you know, guests don't like it. It's like, why do you continue to do something that is you know it's wrong? I think it's a bait and switch thing. And I just hope that they will consider removing it, because it's just there and you don't know why it's there and there's no real explanation for it. And I think what, you know, and they said it usually happens when you book on a third party site and it's one price and then you click on it and then it's jumped up another 20-30% and you look at why, and it's because of these fees. I just think it's just wrong. And yeah, you know,
And I'll add to that too, Calvin, great points, is the problem here is it's almost like a twofold. It's the fees, and the second thing is them hiding them.
Right.
That people can't see, right?
It's deception.
So, yeah. And let me just kind of backtrack. I didn't mean to say hiding them, but you know, they're not displayed. So they're not displayed. And I would probably tell you that this has been going on for a while, but I think this is going to really be the icing on the cake, you know, the icing on the cake. So, Brian?
A couple points I can think of. They are a public company. Where's the auditors? You know, where's the accounting that allocate this to the penny as to how it's being taken in and where it's being spent? The other thing is, reality, they can't do away with them, because I think that would be one of the biggest class action lawsuits in the history of hospitality, because the lawyers and the ambulance chasers will be like, well, if they said they're wrong and they're not going to do them anymore, they can go back forever and try to recoup all those fees if they're found not doing it correctly. So I think they have to fight it. I hope they are a little bit kinder to the guests and they actually do it right. I hate the idea of seeing fees in general. Just put it into the damn room.
Room, right.
Yeah, like just don't, yeah, yeah.
Don't break it out. Like, right.
Yeah, that's just insult to injury. Like, just bury it in the room. Everything else is buried in the room. So that's maybe they could do something like that. I think that'd be more palatable for guests.
Yeah, including the taxes. Just add the taxes on. I mean, why do we need to let people? I've been so against this taxes. It's going to be another show I'll talk about. But I mean, the lodging taxes, people get so confused because one state is 15%, yeah. Another is 12%, another is 9%. I'm like, just add the goddamn tax into the thing. You know what I mean? We shouldn't have like a rate, the tax, the state tax. I mean,
it's just tax and the recreational tax and the
it's so garbage. Like I am literally with EV. Once I get to that portion of operations, I'm just going to build the whole thing into one, and that's it. You know, that's all. And if we need to acknowledge it, then we'll send it on the EV Human app that this is what your breakdown of the taxes were. That's it. You know, I mean, there should be no confusion with that. Stephanie?
I can't comment on this one.
Oh, come on.
I can't. How about this? Let me do this. Let me talk about resort fees in general, but I can't talk about it with Marriott at this moment.
We wonder why.
Why?
That's why Kim was like, why are you in DC, Stephanie? Why are you in DC, Stephanie? Why are you in DC, Stephanie? So here's the thing. This is what I think. Especially right now with all of the stuff that's going on in media. People are getting charged resort fees for amenities that they're not in use. So they're getting charged. They're like, oh, this includes everything. This includes your, you know, going to the gym and the extra cleaning and all this. But then housekeeping is not available. And then room service is not available. And then the gym is not available. So what is the resort fee being taxed for? I'm sorry, charged for it. The other thing, Ken, to your point, not only the state fees or the, you know, whatever the other fees are, it's the occupancy fee. It's this much for two people. It's this much for four people. It looks like a cell phone bill when you get it at the end of your stay. The confusion is causing massive issues within people that are not being able to understand if they don't want to use those special things at the resort. Do we still have to pay the resort fee? If I show up without a car, then they're like, oh, it includes parking. It includes this. It includes, I don't have any of those things. I'm not going to be able to go to the gym. I'm in conference calls the entire day. You still have to pay the resort fee. So to Brian's point, a class action is really, they can't back off now. You have to really fight it and really be astute in how you fight it.
Well, I think they're going to just pay the fine, right? That's the easiest way out. I mean,
well, they have to not necessarily. They got 49 more fines to follow in every state. They have to defend no wrongdoing and show that they have to fight it. Yeah.
I think this is not going to end. I mean, the next player up is Hilton. So you know, IHG, Wyndham, Choice.
Don't even get me started on Wyndham, because Wyndham should be fined for so many things, especially for around their
harassment. Right. Time share harassment.
I mean, like,
they'll call you any hour of the day even while you're staying there.
They're horrible cigar men of the industry.
That's why I can't name them. Cigar men.
Oh, yeah. I just got that some magazine when some guy was trying to call me about getting rid of my timeshare. I'm like, I have a timeshare. Turns out, who knew?
So I will tell you this, too, is the talk of the industry recently is let's start charging for the pool as an amenity.
Yeah.
But Vegas does that.
Mm-hmm.
So Vegas does that. There's a couple other places, especially in high season, where they add it to your room. And if you don't want to go, then you get a different color wristband than everybody else gets.
Yeah, but see, that's Vegas. When you tell the industry that you can do it, next thing you know, you go to a Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah.
And they're like, you have to pay for the pool.
Really?
Well, I think Vegas might do it because they're in a desert and it takes a lot of money to bring that water into that city. I think that's why they do it.
Wow.
But I have some other reasons that we can't necessarily mention on the show.
But that's Vegas will give you a $30 room, you know, in a suite if you're staying in the hotel and you're gambling. So I want to learn more about that, Stephanie. I'm curious about, I didn't know they did, they had different color wristbands for Vegas pools. I know if you're going to go to a pool party and a DJ and you got mm-hmm. a cabana, you have that situation.
Yeah, that, but that's a cert, that's, I mean, I don't want to say that's legitimate, but you know, whatever, that is, that's something separate. One of the big things that are going on now, because we're working with a couple people doing it in Vegas, is when do you open your pools for people that are not guests and how much do you charge them? So what, you know, for a lot of people that maybe they're, you know, their pool was closed down or maybe they didn't get revenue from that. Everybody's trying to figure out a new revenue model. So I know, like, not last year, Brian, but the year before, right before COVID, I know Mandalay Bay was opening up a new area where they were going to actually have like invites. So like the hotel bosses could be able to use it. Even if you weren't staying at the hotel, they could stay there for a price, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I think it's, I think that's,
I don't know if it actually did it, but.
Cause it, I just had, so one of my good friends, Shannon McCallum, she was the VP of operations with the Aria Resort.
Hmm.
And, you know, she was telling me that they were doing that. She knows a lot of people at the Mandalay as well. Yeah. So that Mandalay Bay is a beast.
Yeah.
That thing is a beast mm-hmm. of a resort. That's a resort yeah. now.
That's a resort.
Great property. And the new Virgin Hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful yes. property.
Yeah,
yes.
It is.
Yes.
It is. Oh, speaking of the Virgin Hotel, I connected with Ivy from the Virgin Hotel.
Oh, Nashville. She's a rock star. Yeah, I love her.
She's going to be coming on the show pretty soon. So
awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Excited to have that. So you guys, everybody's got to wear red.
Okay.
No, yeah. That's not going to happen.
I can red, get
you, wear, you wear a red tie.
Party pooper. Maybe. I'm gonna wear the red Houston Texans hat.
Oh, that's cool.
I can get you guys one if you want. You know.
You know somebody? You got a guy?
I might know somebody. I know the guy in the shipping department that ships the products.
All that hat shipments are stuck in port.
Yeah, right.
16-week delay on that Texans hat.
Oh, I actually saw the ad. And I'll tell you guys this thing real quick. Is I saw the ad from the governor of Texas, Abbott, I think his name is. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he put an ad up. Obviously, he didn't put up, but his team did. That he said for the shipping companies to get out of California and bring your shipments to Texas because California will be really delayed. He was really knocking California down. And he's like, bring all the shipments to Texas. We're much faster than California. And I really find that amusing.
But well, I hope they get the advertisement to the captains of those ships. I haven't slept in 3 days. Again, disclaimer. It's a disclaimer on
is,
this.
Is show. It like you're are you like delirious? Like
beyond
I feel delirious. Like what we should have before we start the show is like a 15-minute check-in, and then we should all find out where we are and then put the disclosure under our name. Like yeah. We should just be like tired, yeah. Excuse, whatever. Oh, sorry for the typos.
I think it's coming midnight. After this show. There's going to be a disclaimer put up somewhere.
Yeah.
Have to.
So
maybe I think across the whole video.
Right.
Across,
that's a good idea.
Across
put the
entire
anonymous
video.
Faces on us.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Brian, yeah. You're hysterical.
So I love this news. I don't know if you guys heard about this. This was actually a partnership with it was Landry and NYDIG. I don't know if I'm supposed to say NYDIG or is it NYDIG. They have millions of customers, millions, 500 locations nationwide. Restaurants include 60 award-winning brands. So what this is, it's a Bitcoin loyalty program between these two entities. And I simply love the restaurants they have. They have 60 award-winning brands. Morton Steakhouse, Rainforest Cafe, Bubba Gump. I have never ate there. But the Chart House. I mean, there's
don't
more.
Don't forget Del Frisco's, my favorite.
Del Frisco, yeah.
Del Frisco's got some too. Great. Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, I do. Oh, I'm kind of getting hungry now.
Good people. Shout out to Heather Taylor, who runs the Del Frisco San Diego location.
Like it.
All right, there you go. There comes the intro. Got a little plug. The intro in there somewhere.
That was the only like positive plug for any brand show.
Right?
Del Frisco's. Yay! Yeah.
So I would say, the Frittata, if I'm saying his name right.
Tillman Frittata, yeah.
Frittata, yeah. So this is a partner with the Frittata family, and he's the owner of the Houston Rockets. I think there was probably 6 weeks ago, some maybe a month ago, that Senator Cruz from Texas said they want to utilize Bitcoin to the highest level because for their energy grid and other aspect. So it looks like he's buying in, but this is not, I don't think this is what caused it. For me, when I read on this, and it said there was another partnership that these two entities had already, and that was on the Bitcoin back loans for the used car. I don't know if it's a used car or it's a luxury car dealership. So they've done this Bitcoin aspect before. I think this just kind of tells a story of its own as what's happening here. It's more and more partnerships coming from Texas. You know, Mark Cuban uses Dogecoin for people to buy. People can buy his merchandise and tickets with Dogecoin. But this partnership, I mean, this is massive. This is just massive to know that, you know, you can become a Bitcoin loyalty member. So, I mean, Brian, what do you think?
Love it. Landry's is a phenomenal brand. They own, like, as you mentioned, so many great restaurant concepts and locations. He also owns the Golden Nugget. So the fact that he can play in this space means that we'll be able to see this type of activity in casino floors or any type of gambling, which is great. You know, that's access to capital, access to an asset class. And for people, this is what's great about what's happening in crypto. If I were to earn a reward by going to Landry's, one of Landry's location in a cryptocurrency, it doesn't, in theory, and again, we got to see the mechanics, if it was valued at $25 and it's still sitting in a digital wallet in that currency, which I'm not sure if that's the case, Ken, next week it could be $50, you know, and then the week after it could be $100, and then it could also be zero. That's the reality. So I early on when I started explaining crypto to people that didn't get it, I'm like, just look at it like it's a stock. It's a stock. It fluctuates. People buy, people sell. There's a supply, there's a market cap. To me, it's like, okay, you just got a reward in stock, and maybe that stock's going to be worth a lot more one day. But I think the loop back, and in our case too, Ken, with like Nodal Cash and being able to use crypto inside of an EV hotel, you want to be able to keep the purchasing power inside of that brand.
Yes.
So I don't like Landry's rewarding somebody in crypto. I don't think they should be able to go somewhere else and use it. I think you want to find a way that the person feels valued and they come back and use it in your location or for your goods or services.
Right.
So.
Right.
And absolutely. I believe
they
in
have
that.
To use it for Landry's products. I believe.
I think so. And again, we have to see how it works and where it sits in your wallet and all that, but great play. I actually connected with Patrick Sells in that article today, cause there's an awesome opportunity for us to work with as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's phenomenal. I mean, they haven't even started the program yet, so I'm looking forward to it as well. I mean, I eat at most of those restaurants. I mean, I love the Rainforest Cafe, you know, especially like when you're trying to talk to somebody and a monkey's running around.
And the elephant's going, yeah.
You know? So it's just like, I have a funny story one day to tell you guys about that.
Oh boy!
It's not today.
Can't leave us hanging. You gotta let us know what this story's all about.
Oh, I mean, somebody freaked out when I took them to the Rainforest Cafe for the first time. So they definitely despise monkeys and safari animals. And they thought one just came out of nowhere and they ran out of the restaurant.
Wow.
That's crazy.
We gotta get that footage somewhere.
She got attacked by a monkey. So she thought a monkey came, and when the monkey sounds came,
She was triggered.
She was triggered.
So she can't go to 7-Eleven and even see bananas is what I'm gathering. Oh my God.
And the people that are following her, I mean, you know, the we don't know who those people are. Those monkeys that are following her.
Oh my God. I don't think I've laughed so much in days, probably in weeks. Oh, so I haven't even told my wife that monkey story, so it's kind of crazy that I tell you guys that. I'm sure there's a video. I'm sure Rainforest Cafe's got that video somewhere.
Some lady dashing out of the door screaming.
Yeah, yeah. They're probably putting that in their marketing vault right now. So never experience a time like Rainforest Cafe. We have monkeys. You have the bananas.
I don't even know what we're talking about it anymore.
Yeah, but all right. So, Stephanie.
I got nothing.
You got nothing. She's got nothing on the big
point. I mean,
point.
The only thing I would say is exactly it's the ecosystem. Like, keep it in. Keep it in the brand. Make it, you know, figure out what the accelerators are, you know, as far as, like, you know, how do you grow it and what type of things do you get, you know, more for. It really depends on the ecosystem, and we have to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's gonna. I can't wait. I felt like 2022, the year of the two, and the year of the tiger, as Brian says. You know,
by the tail.
Yeah, I've always said two is a very lucky number, and we're gonna see a new asset class. You know, it's already here. I shouldn't say we're gonna see it, but I feel like it's already here. We're changing to this. We're changing to the crypto. I mean, every day there's crypto news. Every day there's crypto items coming out. Somebody's starting something new. And, you know, it's all here. It's all here. Calvin?
Yeah, but what I really liked about this was that they are creating, they're actually going to make more people knowledgeable about crypto. Yeah. And because they're giving people access to something they may not never explore. So if you go to these places and you get these crypto, you're going to be like, what the heck is this? And I think what it's going to do is it's going to force people to educate themselves on what it is. So actually, I think it's a great way to educate people while they're earning whatever the loyalty is. But I think it's a good way to spread the news about crypto because people are going to not want to know what it is. And I just think that's a great thing for them to do. It's a great strategy. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think absolutely the more people that kind of learn about it, there's such a big community that people don't know about crypto, right? Like just like I think Stephanie was saying, where do you learn about it, right? I think if there's more resources, more areas, crypto museums, crypto aquarium, you know, there could be so much.
Just needs to be a starting point, like for people to like actually get in and learn. Like, you know, like you were just talking about Robinhood. Like, I remember telling, I was speaking to, I think it was a college. I was speaking to a group of athletes and they were talking about just how to start investing. And Charles Schwab had a lot of really cool toys, you know, like in their actual website, but they didn't have, it wasn't cool enough. And the you know, UI wasn't great. And so when you go to Robinhood, it's like, are you this person? Are you this person? Are you this person? Click here. Are you this investor, this investor, this investor? And so it's almost like a tutorial that takes you through. And then it's like, here's some things that you can make. And your initial investment, I think, was like $25. So how do you play with it, get comfortable, make it easy enough to, you know, to front load it and to get money in there to actually see, I made a bad choice or I made a great choice without, you know, you just need education around it. And I don't know where to find that.
I would also tell people that are listening in to go get an app called StockWits. You know what I mean? StockWits. Brian probably knows.
StockTwits.
StockTwits. Is it StockWits or StockTwits?
I think it's Twits.
With a Z. I know it's with a Z. So, you know, and I like Public a lot because Public.
StockTwits.
Twits, okay. Yeah. StockTwits. So
it's just regular Brian, like Stock, S-T-O-C-K.
Yeah, N-W-I-T-Z.
Okay. It's like the message board, right, you're talking about? Where
the message board. Yep. Yeah. And you just add your favorite stock and you follow it. There's all these feeds.
Right, you know, but how do you find out what your favorite stock is? That's what I'm saying. What's one layer lower?
Well, there's one, I think the one tab in there is what people are watching. You know, so what people are watching, you can kind of read the feed on why they think it's good.
Got it. That's awesome.
Yeah, Public's like that too. Public, you can, why I like Public, it's very with the information that they deliver on there. It's like a social media feed, you know? So I think it's great. That's awesome. You get to know what people are buying too. So, but good stuff. Good stuff. So, all right, let's we'll move on here. So I guess we're getting towards the end of the show, to the last piece. And we always save the best for last, right? We always save the best for last. I feel like today's been a crypto show.
It is. This is Crypto Friday, man.
Right.
Plus monkeys and bananas.
Yes. And QTs and 7-Elevens.
I think next week we'll have a special. We're gonna name it Bananas and Crypto. And
going bananas over crypto.
Crypto.
Yeah.
So good.
Bananas and Pajamas. Great cartoon. Back in the day.
So I don't know. I know we spoke about this before. And I would kind of tell you guys this. So Gavin Michael is a good friend of mine. He's obviously the CEO of Back, the Right Here and Now Florida, Georgia. And they've partnered now with MasterCard. And now this is a massive ordeal. I don't know if people understand how big this is. This is really big. I mean, with this, millions of merchants, thousands of banks will be able to integrate crypto into their products soon. There's going to be banks, points converted into crypto. It's basically what they're calling a crypto economy explosion. I mean, just to know that MasterCard was able to partner with Back, and now MasterCard is going to be able to provide crypto payments where points now, based on your airline points, hotel points are going to be able to get converted into crypto as well, as long as you're on the MasterCard system. We know what's next. I mean, if people think Visa is not coming,
it's coming.
I mean, it's coming. If people think American Express isn't coming, it's coming. Discover, it's coming. I mean, MasterCard just got first to the market. But I mean, they're very smart. Why did they get first to the market? They're going to make people switch.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're going to make people switch. I mean, if you love Visa and you love crypto, no longer do you love Visa. You're a MasterCard kind of person, you know. But I don't know, Stephanie, what do you think?
If you ask me one more question about crypto, here's what I think.
This is great.
Okay, so
play the clip have from crypto? 18 minutes ago.
Yeah. So here's what I'm going to say. I want to talk about the partnership aspect because my background is strategy, strategic alliances, high tech partnerships. That's what I want to talk about.
That's why I went to you first.
That's not, but anyway, that's okay. So I agree with you. So I worked a bazillion years ago. I worked for American Express, and I think American Express partners really well. I think they're really innovative in how they partner. It's a very intentional partnership. I could not agree with you more. I keep seeing these cards change. I get so many offers, and you know what's interesting, Ken? I actually want to open the things that come. Their marketing has changed so much around brand, but it's cool. It's like triangle envelopes and it's got like an actual, like, you know, seal. And, you know, Brian always, you know, has always talked about packaging, and he always talks about packaging and how it's a big thing. Like, it's a really big thing. I've never paid any attention to it. And now I'm starting to pay attention to it. The offers are intentional offers. They're not like bogus offers. They're great offers where you have to take a step back. My Platinum American Express card, I think, is $650 a year. And now some of the benefits that I used for American Express, they don't offer. Like, for example, travel insurance or travel, if your flights get canceled or, you know, something catastrophic, they work really, really well in the US, but not internationally. Who would ever expect that from American Express? Like, wouldn't you expect American Express to be cancellation insurance and everything else? No, but MasterCard and Visa, like the higher cards, the black cards, the sapphire cards, they've really stepped up on these offers. So yeah. I think as it continues to, as they continue to expand, and crypto is so massive right now, especially with people that are investing in it, I think that the amount of awards and the amount of innovation around those cards, I think it's going to be completely hot. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, I would tell you this, and I'll bring it back to hospitality now, right? And we go back to education, right? Is now people that did not know about crypto will definitely know about crypto. I mean, this is with this announcement, what I say on so many different scales, this is massive. Because just as we're talking, how do we learn about crypto? No longer will we have to talk about that. Because if you're a MasterCard holder, whether you're going to the bank, whether you're paying for something, and you find out that you're able to convert your points now into crypto, people will be doing their own research and people will be finding out more and more. People that are paying for hotel rooms, you know, they're going to be able to know that they can pay with crypto. And people that don't know about crypto, now they're going to know about crypto. Mm-hmm. So, Brian?
This was exciting for me to read because MasterCard or any credit card company would not make this announcement unless they got the gracing from the good old boys banking and merchant processing network that their global network will participate in crypto. I was reading this as a business in the space saying it's definitely not going anywhere. This is a major move. It's a currency, and now traditional lenders like MasterCard, our credit card companies, they're in it. That means it's here. I like the idea that it made it easy for everybody to get involved. That's one of the reasons why Nodal became such a big success, because anybody can download Nodal Cash, walk around like Pokemon Go, and earn cryptocurrency. Now, the caveat to what you're saying is people still need to learn how to use it, the user experience or the UI is inside of the app. Now MasterCard has to have a digital wallet where their crypto holdings are in there, or maybe now they have to go and partner with an eToro or Robinhood or somebody that already has the exchange, because what do you do with it after you earn it or after you convert your rewards to a cryptocurrency, and which currency is going to be listed and where do you go from there? There's still going to be an educational gap and a little bit of intimidation by people that don't understand this.
Yeah, and I would tell you this. So you kind of hit it on the nail. Yes, they're definitely going to have to go with the digital wallet. And it's funny that Robinhood's got a digital wallet wait list. So I'm not saying anything. I'm just, you know, being me and, you know, trying to put two and one together. So, you know, it's we don't know what's coming, but maybe somebody can be a fortune teller today. So, you know, it's I think it's great. It's, you know, I speak with Gavin maybe once a week, and we've had this conversation about a few things, and I told him, you know, we're working with obviously Nodal, and you know, he believes in EV. He said that EV's massive in what we're doing, and I've had this our EV hotel conversation with him months ago, right? And I'm talking Q1 of this year. And, you know, he's like, you guys are definitely hitting it first to market. We've never had any conversation about MasterCard or anything like that. But, you know, just a conversation of what we were doing in hospitality. And he said that, you know, you're right on path. His exact words were, you're right on path. And, you know, I never knew what he meant by that. But when I saw this announcement, you know, I just said, look, whatever we were doing, we're obviously hitting a home run, because, you know, we kind of hit first to market with the crypto aspect, right? And the technology aspect. Yeah. And now people will get to know more and more about this. And I think, Brian, you're so right with the digital wallet. I truly believe that that's the next phase of this, right? That's the next phase of all of this right now. And especially what you're doing with Nodal Cash and, you know, obviously EV having a part of the Nodal Cash aspect, it's this is going to be huge. I mean, this is just going to be huge, where what we're going to be able to do with this industry, what the crypto means. You know, I'm teaching my 6-year-old now about crypto. You know, she kind of knows some of my holdings that I have. She's like, "Why, Daddy, why are you always looking at that little dog on your phone?"
That's your future.
Yeah. It's like, because, you know, like every coin has some sort of dog on it, you know? The Floki coin, the Doge coin, the Shiba coin, it's got some sort of dog on it. But so, Calvin?
Yeah, I just agree. I agree with everybody, man. I think it's fire. I do. And, you know, again, I just think it's going to become more and more mainstream, and people are going to get comfortable with it. And I just love the idea. What I really like about it is, like, a company like MasterCard doing this, it's going to give access to people that, again, that might not have never even thought about getting involved in crypto. It is going to almost, you're going to have to get involved in it. And the knowledge base, I think MasterCard, and like Brian mentioned, there's going to be a knowledge gap there. There's an opportunity for somebody, even MasterCard. Imagine the loyalty that they're going to have with these people. I mean, they can create a MasterCard crypto university online. I mean, they could teach people how to do this and just create a level of loyalty and stickiness that no other brand can have.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be amazing to watch. I mean, just sit back and watch. I mean, of all these things, I mean, I don't think this is stopping. I mean, just because of this one agreement right here, I think this scales everything to another level.
Yeah.
I mean, just scales it. I just can see the sports industry playing a part. Who knows what the Super Bowl looks like?
Yeah. But
just to the NFL, just to let them know something before we end this show, is there's an EV coming in Phoenix 2023.
Yes.
And there is a crypto play there.
Yeah.
So just to give you an idea, okay? Just to give you an idea, we can house a lot of crypto. We can house a lot of crypto.
Yeah, crypto fantasy football.
Yeah. There you go. There's another one. So, but thank you guys for being here today.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to have you guys on. It's always a pleasure to have everybody else on and, you know, watch us throughout the world. So thank you for everything. Our show is sponsored by SurferQuest and CCC, Contractors, Closers, Connections, and Chris Meyer. Great job on your event last night. Looking forward to the next one. I know you said we needed to invite Stephanie Malik and Brian J. Esposito to the next one. So I'm giving them an invitation for the next event. It's going to be, he wanted me to kind of state this, is that his next event is the closeout event for the year, and it's basically thanking everybody for being part of the chapters throughout. I know he's in conversation of creating more chapters, but the current ones are Richmond, Virginia, Tampa Bay, and Orlando and Atlanta. I know North Carolina is coming up, Texas is coming up, so he's doing great stuff, good stuff. So congratulations, Chris. And I know, so I extended the invitation to Stephanie and Brian now.
Thank you.
So thank you very much.
Yes.
They make some plans to get out to the next one. So, but thank you. And everyone have a beautiful weekend.
Yes.
And we're 2 weeks away now from Thanksgiving. So
right.
Next week is a pre-Thanksgiving show.
All right.
All right. Take care, Calvin.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Calvin.
Yeah,
thanks,
Stephanie.
Thank you.